Welcome to Press This, the WordPress community podcast featuring exclusive content and interviews with leaders in the WordPress community, covering everything from development to integrating your digital marketing strategy with WordPress. Join host David Vogelpohl of WP Engine and special guests from across the community as they keep you up to speed on the latest advancements in WordPress. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This. As a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at WPDavidV. You can subscribe to Press This on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. And of course, you can download the latest episodes at WMR.fm. In this episode, we're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to my heart, which is the notion that I can't do my job. The idea of quickly collecting client content and site information. And joining us for that conversation, really excited to have someone here from a company called Content Snare. I'd like to welcome James Rose. James, welcome to Press This.
David, it's really cool to be here. I got to say, it's pretty close to my heart as well.
Nice, nice, nice. I remember my agency days. This was always a struggle as I worked on clients and had to get information and everything from like the content for the pages to even just simple things like their SFTP info or hosting account info and things like this. And I remember it getting so bad, like some clients, I would never even get it and have to like just abandon the project altogether. So like, that's why this is so like emotional for me, this topic. But I think there's probably a lot of folks listening that kind of share the same frustration. So really like,
It's very much, very common theme in among freelancers and agency owners for sure.
Oh, totally, totally. So I'm really, really excited for this. I think there's probably a lot of people out there right now. And I think I put this in the show description is like, you have time. You're waiting for clients to send you stuff. Listen to this episode. So I guess we got to deliver on that now, James. All right, well, let's kick us off. I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody else in the beginning. I'm really curious about it. I actually don't know this about you, but briefly tell me your WordPress origin story. When was the first time you used WordPress?
Yeah, I think it must have been around 2007 or 8. This is before agency days, before we built any software. It was during the quote-unquote AdSense gold rush, when you just knocked up cheap sites to try and rank them on Google and then make money off AdSense. And I think I had, I don't know, at one time, probably 15 websites that I'd built with full of AdSense and content. And obviously, I realized at some point that those sites are pretty rubbish.
But you retired now? Isn't that you not get rich quickly?
Look, I was doing okay as a side gig, you know, as this kind of thing I was doing at night, side of my real job, my daytime job as an engineer. But that's what kicked off my entire business career. So it does hold a spot in my heart, you know, even though it was building terrible websites.
What were you doing before 2007, 2008? You said you were an engineer, like a software engineer or like a
control systems automation. So easiest way to describe that's probably creating interfaces for humans to control machinery. So computers that control machines and pump stations and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm probably misquoting here, but I believe Tanya Mork has a similar background, but more from like the military perspective.
Oh, cool.
I remember she was really into control systems. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's taught a lot of people to develop WordPress sites. So 2007, 2008, you're not working in websites or you know, web software in that way. This is right around the time when widgets and shortcodes were introduced. Did that matter to you at the time, or were you just like building a website and WordPress was a thing?
I was definitely using widgets, for sidebar stuff, you know, because that's where you put the ads. So I definitely remember using widgets. I don't remember caring too much about shortcodes at the time. Once we built the agency, which was later on in 2014, obviously all of this was much more important.
Okay. Got it. So kind of a means to an end there for your AdSense arbitrage strategy. So I remember those days quite well. You said you'd founded an agency in 2014, but your current focus in your business is around Content Snare. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
What is a content snare?
Content Snare is our SaaS product. It was originally targeted at freelancers and agencies to collect website content from clients. And that was born out of our frustration with getting website content from clients. I think we also, you know, it wasn't just us that had that problem. Obviously, like we were saying, everyone's kind of got their story, but I interviewed a whole bunch of designers locally as well. Of course, pretty much all of them used WordPress. I think actually all of them did. And every single one of them focused on that same problem as being the biggest bottleneck in their business. You know, that was without me prompting. I wasn't going, oh, is getting content a problem? No, I was just saying, like, step me through your process. Where are the pitfalls? And that was the biggest thing that came up with everyone.
Yeah, I know a lot of people share that frustration. And, you know, we've covered quite a bit on Press This, the notion of kind of businesses evolve, product businesses evolving out of agency businesses. Mm. That's good to hear. You kind of had that very intimate knowledge and experience with the pain point you ended up there addressing with Content Snare. So I'm just curious, like, and, you know, I mean, related back to Content Snare or generally, but just like, what are the common kinds of information that you think agencies need to build a client site? Like, what's in the sphere of content? Like, I was talking about things like access info and stuff, but like, how do you think about it?
Yeah, so there's two, I'd say, typical ways we see people collecting content or information. It doesn't have to be content. One is when the client does not actually write the final copy. So instead, it's more of like a creative brief process where they're collecting information from the client that the someone, you know, a copywriter or someone on the team is going to use to convert that into the final copy. So, and that can be a mix of actual content and, you know, questions, you know, so tell me about your business, tell me about your services, whatever. And someone's going to rewrite that into content. But then you might also be collecting team bios and headshots and, you know, logins and all that sort of stuff, which is very much stuff that's going to be used directly on the final site. So that's like the first process we see people going through. And the second one is, yeah, just direct the client writes the content for the website. And obviously that's, I mean, for most people, that's just pages, right? Just very rarely blog posts, but some people collect blogs too. I guess I'm trying to work out when you say types of content. That's
I'm just like, because like in the beginning of the interview, I kind of had mentioned, you know, the notion of things like authentication information into their site so you can migrate it into your development environment and start working on it. Like, do you feel like you think of that type of information when you think about getting content from customers? Yeah. Or is this okay? So that would be like part of that bucket is like the information from a systems perspective that you need to get going.
Yeah. The thing is, anything that you're going to ask clients for in an email or a Google Doc or a form or something where there's quite a bit of information that you need, that's what people use Content Snare for. So, not just Content Snare, it's for anything. So, you know, a lot of times it'll be an email that says, can you answer these 5 questions and then fill out this Google Doc or go and fill out this form. So, you know, there's multiple channels usually, and it's made up of all kinds of things. It can be logins. You know, some people, you know, the more security conscious among us collect logins via the phone sometimes, you know, just to keep so the password's not being shared.
Oh, I'm right there with you. Yeah.
100%.
Or password managers, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. So you know, there's usually multiple channels to bring in all that information. But yeah, the second type, you know, there's plenty of agencies out there that it's more about volume than it is sort of bespoke websites. And they just collect the direct content from the client. They're like, I want your about page content, your contact page content, your home, you know, all that sort of stuff just directly from the client.
Okay. So it sounds like there's kind of roughly 3 buckets, like the client or kind of 3 approaches. The client is going to give you a brief or answer questions and your team's going to write the copy. The second mode, I guess the client is writing the copy and you're implementing it in the experience in the website. And then I guess the third class would be just like a general like systems info or just other stuff you might need to complete the project.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good summary.
Sounds like being like really holistic in how you think about it. Cause I mean, obviously we're kind of building up to like, well, how do I get this stuff faster? But it sounds like just like holistically thinking, like it might just be more than just like literally the website content.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And honestly, that's actually been you know, a lot of people don't sort of make that connection. They use Content Snare for the website content and then go, oh, wait, I can use this for onboarding and just normal info. Well, yes, it's a form. You can basically a special kind of form that you can collect whatever you want. And it's quite funny because I've had this product for 5 years or whatever at this point, 4 years. And I was working on an automation consult or implementation of like Zapier. I don't know how many people are familiar with Zapier, but I was implementing processes and automations in this woman's business. And I sent her a question list with like 20 things in it and was like, what am I doing? Like, I have a product for this. Why am I sending an email?
Yeah, I like it. So yeah. Like it's really, I guess maybe info snare doesn't really roll off the tongue like content.
No.
It's being open-minded about what this information is. I want to dig into the like, what are the hardest parts and then kind of building up to like how to resolve them. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment. Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm. Let's press forward with more Press This, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Well, everyone, welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. We're in the middle of our episode covering quickly collecting client content and site info. And joining us for that conversation is James Rose of Content Snare. James, before the break, you were kind of talking about like the different modes and types of information that agencies and freelancers will collect for client projects. You talked about the client's writing the copy, the client isn't writing the copy, and then like there's this general and more broad notion of info you might need to get up and going. In your view, what is the hardest type of information for clients to provide, and why do you think it's so hard for them to do that?
Yeah, it's going to be copy. It's always copy. Like if you're collecting the exact wording that you want to use on the website, that's by far the most difficult. And that's because they're not copywriters. They often don't understand. I mean, it took me 10, probably 5-6 years, a good part of my career in business so far, given that I was an engineer. It's probably taken me more than half of that decade to unlearn how to sell to engineers and to learn how to sell to the rest of the population. And that's kind of how I see clients as well. You know, they're not good at marketers. They're not good copywriters a lot of the time. So for them, it's very difficult to craft copy without a good level of guidance. You know, anything that's going to appear on the website directly is clients can often struggle with. I mean, everything else, like answering questions, like what are your products and services? Of course, that's easy for them. You know, maybe some of the harder questions are things like, what makes you better than the competition? But they're obviously good things for them to think through. But the hardest thing is, you know, if you go and say, you know, give me your homepage content, that's always going to be difficult for a client.
Is it a writer block level of difficulty, or is it more like they give you copy and you just have to like completely redo it, or you're going back and forth all the time? Or is it all of that?
It is all of that. I'd say the most common story I hear is just that it has to be completely redone. You know, whether it's too long or they don't give you enough, you know, they'll write a headline that's three sentences long, or they'll write an about blurb that just goes on and on and on, or it's just copy that doesn't really sell the business well enough.
So it's like when they it is either writer's block or maybe time is another blocker for them.
Yeah.
Or they're giving it to you in a format that's not usable or not going to achieve their outcomes. And so you're having to go back and forth. Of course, I mean, shoot, I still deal with this today, but like you have this kind of back and forth that'll kind of slow you down and like chew up your margins and stuff. And so that's a big challenge. Any other like main areas? And then I want to kind of get into some of the ways that folks can go about collecting it more easily.
Yeah. The other thing that people struggle with are images. So often clients don't have, you know, professional photography or whatever for their website. So you have to resort, a lot of people resort to stock photos, which isn't the greatest. But even just general images that you think the client should have, like a logo, you know, the amount of times I've heard a story of where they've asked the client for a logo and they get some like 14 pixel high thing that they can't use. So definitely images are a pain point as well.
Am I the only person who had trouble getting like SFTP and hosting authentication information? Like I felt like that was like every project. I would call my project managers. I'm like, why haven't we started this? Or like, we can't get the site. Like, am I the only one,
Jay? Oh, no. Nope, definitely okay. Not.
I had to give someone a $2,000 deposit back because they could never find any of their admin info.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, really?
Definitely happened to me too. I had many clients where they couldn't remember their domain login or whatever. Couldn't remember their hosting login, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that was a big issue for sure. My favorite ones were when they were working with an IT company that held their hosting and I could just go to them and say, can you tell me where everything is, please?
Yes. You know what I feel like, and I didn't get to take advantage of this in my agency days as much because they just came out with these, is the migration plugins. Like I feel like the migration plug, like everybody has WP admin access. Like I feel like that's a given with these folks, but
maybe you know what, that has saved my life many times where I couldn't get anything else, but we were planning on like shifting from some old rubbish hosting. But then we could go in there with the migration plugin and rip everything else out that we needed.
Yeah, no, I wish I'd had that lever back in those days. It definitely can become an issue for sure. Okay. So I'll quit the harping on things that are important to me. I still have like shell shock from that, I think. But what is an example of, you know, how agencies get it wrong when collecting this information? Like, I mean, I don't know if I had a system. I just kind of, you know, DM'd my PMs and asked them like, do we have it yet? And they went, not yet. Like, what was I doing wrong? Or what do others do wrong when they try to collect this info?
Yeah. So the biggest, I guess maybe the easiest way to start is by explaining what we've seen work in getting content faster. And that is creating a really good level of guidance and instructions of what the client should do. I should have back up a little bit to break it down into pieces as well, right? So the classic awful way of doing things is sending someone a Google Doc that says homepage content across the top and saying, Mr. Client, please give me your homepage content in this Google Doc. And of course, they have no idea where to start. You know, that's obviously the worst possible example. But
one page is the worst example. I feel like the whole website's where the content is the worst. Because you're saying like one page is too much. Like you just like part of the page. Is that, I mean the blank. Like I get it. But like I just want to follow this through.
Yeah, no, I more mean like the blank page part. Like the fact that you know that's just the worst. Because I don't like the biggest thing to remember is a client can't visualize the web as well as you can. When, you know, as a web designer or, you know, marketing person, you've probably got a pretty good picture in your mind of what a website's going to look like, how it's going to function. You know, you're building this picture as you talk to the client. The client might have a bit of an idea, but nowhere near what you do. So if you go and send them a page that says, put your homepage content here, they're just not going to know where to start. They're going to write the wrong things, stuff that's unusable for you. So the two things are breaking it down into chunks. So that could be, okay, now we're going to do the header section. And then within the header, we've got a headline. We've got a, you know, it could be a hero image. It could be a video, whatever you're planning on putting on the site. it could, there's probably going to be a subhead or, and a button, you know, where does the button go? What's it say on the button? But, you know, so just actually breaking it down into all the little pieces that you're going to need from a client. And then providing some guidance on how to fill out each of those little pieces of information. So, you know, don't just say, I need a hero image. Like, what's the hero? What should it be of? A hero image should be something that shows the client after they've used your services. It's like the end state of the, like, where they're going to be after they've used your product. You know, it needs to be at least 2000 pixels wide, you know, actually specifying what they need to do just for that image, for example. And then for the headline, it's like, it should be 6 to 12 words, no fluff. Say what you do and is, I don't know, and what the benefit is as short, as few words as possible, and maybe even linking out to a guide on how to write headlines. So the more instructions, obviously without going crazy, but the more instructions you can give people, the more success you're going to have. That's the biggest thing we find in people that are successful with even a tool like Content Snare, is the amount of help they try to give to their clients, the amount of guidance. So, you know, and then the level above all of this, coming on from, you know, the fact that clients can't visualize as well as you, is to actually put a mock-up or a screenshot in. So this is what the header is going to look like. This is where the image is going to be displayed. This is where the headline is going to go, all that kind of stuff. It couldn't be a wireframe. It doesn't have to be a, you know, final mock-up, because obviously you probably haven't finished the website at, at this point of the build. But as long as you're, you know, you make it very clear that the final website is not going to look like the actual wireframe, because clients will definitely assume that. I've seen it happen before.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I feel like, I mean, I think this is really good advice just in general. And thinking back, and I was just kind of replaying some of my old projects in my head as I heard you talking, and I would build a page in my head and it was very clear what we were building to me, but it wasn't to them. I think I probably spent a lot of time assuming that they saw it the same way and they didn't. You know, it's funny that you mentioned the wireframes and providing the imagery along with the copy. I think I see a lot of people do that as well, where it's like, here, just put it in this doc and have no concept of visually how it's going to look. And I definitely see clients getting caught up in that. In terms of like providing the wireframe, I've had that turn out bad, I think, sometimes if you show like too early work. And I think it just depends on the client, you know, like whether they're comfortable in that messy middle or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely can cut both ways. I do want to dig in a little deeper there. We're going to take our last break. We'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment. Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com. Let's press forward with more Press This, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. We're talking to James Rose about collecting client content and site info. Right before the break, James, you were talking a little bit about really how to go about collecting client info in the quote right way. And you talked about breaking it down. You talked about providing guidance on each piece of content down to like character counts and like advice on how to pick your images and stuff. And then right before the break, you were kind of getting into like, you're saying like, share the wireframe, and like that cuts both ways, right? That's what I was saying before the break. But like, is that what you've experienced?
Yeah. So it's, none of this is blanket advice. I mean, making things easier for your client is blanket advice. So, you know, that's what the breaking it down and guidance is. You know, everyone should be doing some level of that. But the core principle is making things as easy as possible for your clients. And for some clients, a wireframe works. You know, they can look at that and visualize maybe how the clients, at least how the website's going to be laid out, and then they know where the headline's going to go and whatever. But some clients really struggle with wireframes. You're right. And it really depends on if you're willing to be flexible in your process. some people, it's just their process. You know, we wireframe the website, then we collect the content. And it's too bad if the client can't work it out. But I mean, I feel like education goes a long way here. So if you have a little video that goes along with your process for the client and you actually step them through the process and explain how the wireframe works and how it's not the final website, that goes really long way. You know, so this is just part of that guidance piece again. But there's, you know, I feel like a lot of people avoid video because it's, I don't know, difficult. It adds like an extra thing they have to do. But
there's a lot of parts that are easier about it, I think, because like you don't have to type out the instructions. You can just like talk into a camera and microphone and like record it. For instructions where you don't necessarily have to have like a super high production value, I found video actually be very helpful.
Yeah, 100%, especially with something like Loom where you click the button and you're off and you're recording. So that's, you know, and that's why we accept Loom videos directly into Content Snare in the instructions areas, because, you know, it's just we Vimeo and YouTube have that extra layer where you've got to upload something. Whereas Loom, you just click the button, talk to the client. You can make a personal video for directly them, you know, showing them their exact wireframes and questions that you're asking. With your face on it, well, it doesn't have to be. You can be screen sharing your voice, and then just embed it, and they can watch it, and they're going to be in a much better position than, you know, if you just throw them the questionnaire and say, fill this out.
That's cool. You have the Loom integration. I haven't used that platform for video, but it sounds cool. I'll have to check it out. What other special things do you have in Content Snare? Like I've heard you talk about like things like providing guidance on like the number of characters that they should fill out. Is that like kind of features in Content Snare? Help me understand, like, what are some of these specialized approaches y'all take to help agencies and freelancers achieve this outcome?
Yeah. Okay. So the easiest way to think of Content Snare is like a form cross Google Doc. So you lay out the different pieces of information that you need, like a form, but it saves everything on the fly, like a Google Doc. So, you know, you can say, put a headline here, put an image here. And as soon as it's uploaded, it's locked in, it's saved. So if they close the window and come back later, it's still there, which is the big downside of using a form for this kind of info is they'll, you know, the guarantee they'll lose their information, which we can get into later if you want to talk about some other ways to collect this besides Content Snare. But the features.
I'm curious about Content Snare for sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the main features that people seem to love, the auto-saving thing. So it's kind of like a free-flowing doc, but also, you can limit each piece. So if it's an image, you can say, this is the minimum dimensions we'll allow. This is the maximum dimensions. If you're uploading a file, you can say, these are the file types we allow and how big it's got to be. With text. Yeah. It's like, character length or word length, like word count, that it will allow from them. So these are more like restrictions on each field, whereas the guidance is just every single question. We have a full rich text area where you can provide guidance on how to fill that piece out. So, and that takes images. So that's where you can put wireframes in or examples. It can take videos like Loom, Vimeo, and YouTube, and obviously just full rich text.
Well, that's like, really cool.
You can put a little checklist in there and say, these are the things you need to cover in this blurb. You know, then this about the blurb, and this is how long it needs to be. And then they just fill it out in their own time. And the final, I guess, feature that people really love are the automatic reminders. So it'll actually keep chasing them until they've done it.
I like it. Why didn't you found this when I was running my agency?
I've heard this many times.
Oh my goodness. Well, I hope folks listening will check it out and maybe get some value out of it. If not, the sound advice I think you've given here today in this interview. James, thank you so much for joining us today.
David, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. For those listening, if you'd like to learn more about what James is up to, you can check out contentsnare.com. Again, this has been your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.